Something wicked is coming this way, and only fools are ignoring the signs. So it's time you became a financial prepper like thousands of others. Gold can travel anywhere. It's international. It's its own currency. Allocate to gold now, the timeless safe haven asset. Open an IRA with Noble Gold Investments to physically hold coins and bars, and let real, tangible gold, not just paper, save your portfolio as the economy burns again. Right now, Noble Gold Investments offers a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin with every qualified IRA. Just use the promo code GOLD to claim your free coin and secure your family's financial future. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now. NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
All right, once again, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Red Pill News. Pleased to join my friend Guy Gotzlike today on the program from My Digital Money. Guy, how are you out there in California?
Doing great. Doing great. Better than where you are, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. It's been a rough ride the last couple of days, but we have reliable power and reliable internet now, so that's about all I can hope for. Cleaning up the neighborhood, did a lot of that yesterday, but apparently our beach is gone. The pier was completely washed away. That's probably the worst of it. I mean, I don't want to minimize the damage to homes and stuff, but I mean, in our area, that's the largest, single point of damage. But I guess a lot of people have their homes flooded, and, that's obviously really devastating. Hopefully they have good insurance because they're living there on the coast. But, just for anybody who is not familiar, you haven't been here for the last couple of months, but tell us a little bit about My Digital Money and what you guys do.
Yeah, so My Digital Money is a self-trading crypto platform where you can invest in crypto with an IRA. So you get the tax advantages. So you can open a, Roth or traditional IRA and reinvest your gains back in and swing trade. And we have a customer service team that is there to pick up your call. So we're really, the goal is to make it as easy as possible for people to come in. We provide education. We also have regular cash accounts. And the advantage there is that you can, your assets are in a trust. So even if there's, some business problem, a bankruptcy, your assets are decoupled from the business operations. So we can't legally use your assets, lend them out, do anything like that without your permission. That in a nutshell is what we do. We been around for a couple of years, we're always going to pick up your call.
So there's a couple of different things you hit on there that have given me some ideas of stuff to talk about. I mean, first of all, inflation obviously is a major problem in the world today, not just the United States. I mean, the value of the dollar is dropping. The value of the pound in Britain to the dollar is also dropping. And I know that in the UK, a lot of people are moving into crypto as a safer method of holding on to the value in their money. Here in the United States, the Fed has continued to push interest rates higher. And with the drop in value of the U.S. dollar and these moves by the Fed, are you guys seeing any additional movement of people into crypto here in the same way we are in the U.K.?
I think with our platform, yes. We're surprised that we have an uptick. And I'm not exactly sure what is causing the uptick. But I think generally, the markets aren't doing well, the traditional markets. And I would say crypto relatively is holding strong in the last few days. Bitcoin is, staying above 19,000, which is good. Even though we know there's going to be probably two more rate hikes this year. And I think the Fed just released a report, of its preferred, metrics, which are a little bit better for August than expected, but we're still obviously in a bad inflationary period. I'd say it's holding strong compared to what's happening out there.
So what does that mean for people's retirements in terms of 401ks, IRAs in a crypto compared to a traditional cash IRA or 401k?
Yeah, well, I think Indeed just released a statement that they've noticed a percentage of previously retired workers rejoining the labor force, especially in age ranges 55 to 64, because a lot of people, they just can't retire like they thought they could. You know, things are really expensive, as you know. You go to the grocery store, it's crazy. Everything is just, I was just looking at my monthly bill. It was like my monthly spend for the last month. And it was, I was just shocked.
It's insane.
So, you know, I think some people are getting 2-3 jobs, you know, young people, and then, you know, older people can't really necessarily do that. And so I think people are starting to think long-term. I hope that's part of what is causing the uptick, in the crypto IRAs. Because you got to have at least a little bit in your entire portfolio that can outpace inflation and kind of mitigate those losses from the crazy, you know, inflation and higher interest rates and all that. So, I think, you know, people just need to think longer term. Unfortunately, not everyone has the luxury to do that. Sometimes people just, they need money to pay the rent. But if my... And I'm not a financial advisor, but what I always tell people that I would do is that I would, at least if I have some money that I can keep around for a long time, I would keep it in a retirement so that when I do retire, you know, I've held on to the value of my money as much as possible.
So there's also some moves being made by the administration, and we've talked about this before. They put out kind of a roadmap for a central bank digital currency. And I think the idea of a CBDC is heating up around the world. I know the Bank of International Settlements just performed a test of sorts to see about possibly implementing a global central bank digital currency. And as a result of that successful test, I think Israel, Norway, and Sweden maybe are now partnering with the Bank of International Settlements to create their own CBDCs. I guess I want to know if your opinion of CBDCs has changed or evolved at all, because a lot of people here in the United States are very hesitant at the idea of implementing something like that for us here. I mean, we've had a real problem with the government targeting people, with censorship. I think that when you look at a country like China, that's also been kind of looking at doing this as well. I mean, they already have that social credit score system, and I think that would be the absolute worst possible case scenario for us here in America. If the federal government implements something like that, and they say, hey, you know, that guy, Zach Payne, he's got a podcast where he talks about things that we don't want him to talk about, so we're going to shut down his account, or we're not going to allow him to transfer money. I mean, that's what I think about when I consider a CBDC here in America. I mean, do you think that those fears are unfounded?
No, I completely agree with you. I've always, you know, had that opinion that I don't really think it's a good thing unless we can find a way through legislation to do it in a way where we're not violating people's privacy and all those negative aspects are mitigated. But I just don't see the reason for it. I know a lot of countries are going in that direction. The U.S. is still not necessarily going in that direction. You had Biden's executive order, which came out back in March, and ordered the various departments within the government to, you know, do more research and figure out if this is something that should be pursued. And a report came out last week, because it's been 6 months, and that was the deadline, 6 months. So a report came out from the Treasury, basically not really, still not saying whether or not CBDC is a path that will be pursued, but basically saying they need to do more research. The whole report was kind of inconsequential. It really focused on protecting consumers, which is great, but didn't talk about the advantages of blockchain, and didn't talk about, you know, how to foster innovation and invest in it. And I think other countries are really investing millions of dollars in research and innovation. So I would have liked to see more of that in executive order. But yeah, I think, you know, obviously the U.S. is behind, and CBDCs, I think, are coming, whether or not we like them or not. You know, it's we just need to think of ways to mitigate the negative aspects of them.
Yeah, obviously those possible negative attributes, I think that's number one. But also, I think one of the reasons the United States and perhaps other governments are interested in CBDCs is because it would squelch any competition from any other cryptocurrencies out there. As an example, XRP, Ripple, you know, I mean, the SEC has been going hard on them for a long time. They just won a court case. It looks like things are turning around for them. But I think it's quite clear that the ease of use for XRP and the kind of systems that were being implemented, it stood to take a foothold as a viable cryptocurrency that could be used at retail outlets and, you know, just people all around the world. You know, do you know anything about the court case that's been ongoing?
Yeah. So I know there was a ruling just, I think it was yesterday, in the last few days, that basically, the SEC wanted to withhold a certain document of a speech that was made by a person named Hyman, that's within the SEC previous administration, and he made a speech basically hinting that XRP may not be a security, and the judge ruled that those documents should not be withheld. And so that's a positive step towards winning the case for XRP. And also, both the XRP and the SEC filed a motion to expedite the judgment and get a summary judgment on whether XRP is a security, and try to prevent from going to trial. And so, you know, that could signal that we're close to the end and close to a decision. And the judge overall, you know, seemed to kind of bash the SEC in a lot of her rulings, saying that they weren't faithfully executing the law. And, you know, XRP is arguing that the SEC is actually trying to rewrite the law. And that the whole thing of the Howey test came up because that's how you determine if a token is a security. And, you know, both sides have different arguments, you know, why it is or isn't. I agree with the XRP side. But I think this case is very important to the rest of the industry because it could set a precedent. You know, if XRP wins, that's great. And it sets a precedent that the SEC can just come in after the fact. There needs to be clearer guidance on whether or not a token is a security. And if, you know, the SEC wins, then if the SEC wins, then it's actually very negative because that could signal that a lot of other tokens are securities as well.
Yeah, it's pretty much going to open the door and allow for, you know, I think the wrong kind of regulation, and it might completely shut down a number of different tokens. One thing I've always wondered is, you know, why is it that the SEC chose XRP specifically? Because you've got a number of other tokens that are hold a lot more value and monetary wealth in them, that are people are trading more, that people are putting a lot more of their money and their savings in. You know, Ethereum is a perfect example, and Ethereum just has been in the news recently. We've talked about this before, but the merger was finally completed. And it seems like it's a bit of a mixed bag. You know, some people are upset, and really the only people who seem to be very happy about it are environmentalists or people who wanted to stop the ability for people to mine. Tell us a little bit about the XRP changes and what's happened recently, what you think about it.
You mean Ethereum? The Ethereumer?
I'm sorry, the Ethereumer.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure.
Mixing my coins.
Yeah, so the Ethereum merge, yes. So, and by the way, the head of the SEC, Jerome Powell, the next day after the merge, you know, said that, you know, any proof of stake tokens could be considered a security, and, you know, up for additional scrutiny by the SEC. And, you know, proof of stake, we'll talk about in a second, but because you can earn an interest on your stake tokens, that's why he thinks it could be a security. And so no coincidence, he said that, you know, the day after the merge without actually naming Ethereum. But yeah, the Ethereum merge, I'm sure your audience knows, the update was all about changing from proof of work to proof of stake. So the consensus mechanism was changing to one that's much more energy efficient. And some people, you know, on the blockchain side, you know, in the technical community, like it, and some don't. You know, the big advantage is that it lays the path for scalability and cheaper gas fees. Once we have additional upgrades that introduce mechanisms called sharding and rollups, and that will allow Ethereum to scale to actually be, you know, be able to compete with Visa and have actual, you know, scalability with DeFi. And so it's very important. And, you know, most of the community, obviously.
A human catastrophe is closing in. Nobody knows how far this one is going to go. You can feel the heat as tension is rising globally. War is expensive. Open a Noble Gold Investments IRA today, and you can claim a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. Just use the promo code GOLD. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Agree to switch. And there's a small group of miners that, you know, created a hard fork to stay within proof of work. But yeah, I think that generally I think it's a good thing. I understand that there's some centralization concerns around it, because right now Coinbase and Lido are the two biggest validators, and they account for 50% of the validation. And so there are centralization risks there that we just need to figure out how to solve. And by the way, the environmental concerns, I mean, I think it's a little bit fake news, some of it, because you hear all this, you know, stuff about, Bitcoin or, you know, Ethereum before it was, proof of stake, taking up, you know, more energy than a small country, and all these, kind of a lot of misinformation basically, but yeah, a lot of things take up, as much energy as a small country.
Mm-hmm.
Most things that are valuable do that. And, you know, if you compare Bitcoin to the traditional financial system and how much energy that takes, you know, I think you can conclude that it's more energy efficient for what it provides.
Absolutely.
You know, so
it's such a ridiculous argument to me. I mean, because you're absolutely right. I mean, if you all the reason they're singling these things out is because they can look directly at it and they can quantify it. But nobody is trying to quantify the total energy used by Wall Street every single day. And nobody would even dare say, you know, hey, you know, these individual trading firms have to reduce their energy usage or they're going to destroy the planet. I mean, everybody's soaking up that money. And crypto, Ethereum, you know, Bitcoin or whatever it is, I mean, it was a smaller, more niche market. And I think the people who were making the money off of it were largely just, you know, like individual people. You know, I mean, it's become kind of it's become like more corporatized in the last couple of years, and more firms are getting into it. You hear news about, you know, companies buying mining machines and stuff, and so, you know, they're adding it to their portfolios. But for years, it's just been normal people, you know, I mean, guys in their basements with a bunch of mines set up.
But the other point that's I think is important is that energy consumption doesn't necessarily equal carbon emissions.
Right.
And if you look at the mining, you know, at least 60% of all mining is done with renewable energy.
Mm-hmm.
Miners are actually incentivized to use renewable energy because they want to reduce their costs and make a profit, right? And so, yeah. And also the way that it's decentralized means that you're not just going to create like a big oil rig or something just for mining. You're going to try to use, you know, you're going to try to plug into the existing energy grid.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also ways that, you know, a lot of people are researching, you know, how to capture excess energy. You could take mining to, you know, an oil rig or to different areas where you can capture excess methane and greenhouse gases, you know, and basically use those and actually help the environment. And so, you know, because of the way mining is done, I think that it's just not as bad as what people make it. And, you know, the other fake news is like, oh yeah, if we continue with Bitcoin, you know, in the year 2030, the environment, the temperature of the world will go up by two degrees, which is BS. Cause if it, that all came from a paper in 2018, whereas like, if you look at all the assumptions, they're all pretty false, right? Like they assumed that, you know, we're going to continue to scale at the exponential rate that we had last year. And they also assumed a lot of other things that were just false, right? Because, I mean, you have the hardware is improving and becoming more energy efficient, which wasn't taken into account, among other things. But anyway, I digress. So, I think the Ethereum merge is interesting, how the price has actually gone down after the
merge. I was just going to say, yeah, the price has gone down. I was actually wondering, too, with that hard fork for the people who wanted to. And what is the fork called? I mean, there already was Ethereum Classic, right? I mean, what is this new one called?
This is called Ethereum Proof of Work.
Okay.
So the actual token is ETHW. And so it survived. It's still surviving, but I wouldn't say that it's thriving in any way.
Do you know what the value is?
Last I checked, it was like around $5, but I don't know. It's hovering probably somewhere around there. And I think it started at like $90-something.
Mm-hmm.
And then it kept tanking because, you know, there were different issues with it. They had a lot of hiccups when they released. You know, I think they were using a chain ID that already existed and people couldn't get their tokens. And then they had a hack that happened. They ran into a lot of issues and the price kind of crashed, but it's still surviving right now. So I wouldn't rule it out totally.
So I actually was kind of surprised that with this much vaunted merger and the change in the way Ethereum works, that the value dropped, as much as it did. I mean, I would have thought that this would have made it, more attractive to people, you know? I mean, certainly if environmentalists were, just crowing at the moon asking for this to happen for so long, everybody should have went straight for Ethereum as a result of this massive change. But that hasn't happened. It seems like it's been kind of demoralizing.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of it is the phenomenon buy the rumor, sell the news. The Ethereum's been outgrowing the general crypto market in terms of growth leading up to the merge, because the merge actually had a concrete date, you know, I think in July, it was around end of July that it was announced, yes, this is actually happening. And so people were anticipating the merge, and so they were buying the rumor, and the price really went up a lot leading up to the merge. And then once the merge happened and it was a non-event and actually it was successful, like most people thought, then people took profits, right? So I think that had a lot to do, that kind of contributed a lot to the price going down. People just taking profits.
All right. Just to wrap it up, there was something else that you said in the introduction, that people who have their crypto at My Digital Money, it's their crypto. You guys can't use it. You're not going to rug pull people. That's important because a lot of people, myself included, were very surprised to find that their crypto wasn't really their crypto at exchanges like Celsius and Voyager. Both of whom have filed for bankruptcy. They're currently embroiled in the Chapter 11. And a lot of people, like me, are getting completely screwed and losing all of their money. Now, that may change. The terms of the bankruptcy might end up being favorable to us in the long run. But it is kind of crazy in the short term because, you know, the idea that your crypto is not actually your crypto, I think that's a pretty important point to make. Considering the business you guys are in. And so there's this guy, his name is Sam Friedman
Sam Bankman-Fried.
Okay.
Sam Bankman-Fried. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's coming in and buying up assets. He's buying up the assets of Voyager and Celsius, or he's buying up like firms that were holding them. What's the situation with that? And I wonder if it would be positive for my situation.
I mean, I think it could be. So I know he bought, he bought some of, it was Celsius, I believe, Celsius's, assets that were on auction. So he bid for it. And I know that he actually tried to buy, bail out Celsius, which they rejected a few months ago. But he, you know, had a successful bid for some of the assets they were selling. I don't know what the details of those assets are, but I know that he's also trying to buy up some of Voyager's assets as well. I don't think he has, to my knowledge. But yeah, it's this young guy that created FTX, the exchange, and has been, you know, became a, you know, one of the youngest, if not the youngest, crypto billionaire, and he's been buying up, buying things up. So, you know, he's trying to dominate.
Well, hopefully he's successful, because it would be nice to not totally lose everything. But
yeah, I mean, and what I heard lately about Celsius is that they are actually they're playing around with different ideas how to get customers their money back. And one of those is creating a new token that's an IOU, basically, to clients and creditors. So so, you know, you'll probably, if that goes to fruition, you'll probably get, you know, those tokens. And at some point when they figure out how to get your money back, you'll be able to redeem it. But they're trying to get creditors their money back. And so at least there's that. But yeah, it sucks that, you know, a lot of people thought, this is my crypto, and suddenly you're waiting in line in the bankruptcy proceedings to get your money.
And I got one more thing. One of the dominoes that fell leading to the collapse of Celsius and Voyager was the collapse of Terra Luna. Do Kwon, we've talked about this before, kind of dared a group of people on Twitter to destroy Luna because it was supposed to be a stablecoin. He kind of put a challenge out there, and I think he bet a couple $100 million that it couldn't be done. Well, long story short, it was done. That collapse led to...
That was like the main domino, right?
That was domino. Yeah, that was the first domino that led to everything else. I mean, you know, billions of dollars lost in terms of value in people's portfolios. A lot of major companies like Celsius and Voyager had big stakes in Terra and Luna. And that ended up forcing people to have to sell off Bitcoin to cover those losses, which further devalued those companies and the way that they had their money invested, which end up leading to them filing for bankruptcy. Do Kwon is now wanted by Interpol. I think South Korea has put out a red notice for him. He's I don't know what he's getting charged with. But yeah, he's now a wanted man. Yeah, you know, do you think that this sets a dangerous precedent for people in the crypto space? Or do you think that it would be good in, I guess, helping people to determine how they're going to act publicly about this stuff?
Yeah, I think it's good to get clarity on that. I don't know if he's done anything illegal or not, and if they're charging him with, you know, either withholding information or, you know, doing something deceitful. You know, I think it's not legal to just simply, you know, lose clients' money, because there's always a risk. But I think what he is, you know, guilty of is just being, cocky and overconfident. And I think it is a bit reckless, right? I don't think it's illegal, but I think it's reckless to, you know, dare someone to break your algorithmic stablecoin, even if you're super confident in it. You don't just invite hackers, you know, to come in and try to, you know, break your system, because if that system breaks, that ripple effect is huge, right? Especially when you're a big, you know, you're big as Terra Luna, right?
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, obviously that's why I don't like him, because of that. But I just don't know if it's you know, what he did was illegal or not. I don't think it technically is. But I'm sure the South Korean authorities will find something to charge him with. You know, a lot of people are mad. He lost a lot of big people, a lot of money. And he's tweeting. He's saying he's not on the run, but, you know, he is.
Yeah. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, I think that, I mean, this is, you know, the financial crimes unit or department of South Korea. I don't know how they have it phrased, but I mean, that's who has put out the arrest warrant for him. So, you know, regardless of whatever he's done, I think that you're right. If they want to charge him with something, if they want to make him pay, then it's going to happen. I mean, it's a foregone conclusion because, you know, I don't even remember how many billions of dollars were just wiped, like, all at once. But, I mean, it's a significant sum, you know, probably equating, you know, the GDP of several nations, you know, all at once. That money's gone. And what are people going to do? So, yeah, that ripple effect is huge. And, you know,
yes, I would say just be careful of, you know, any yields that seem too good to be true.
Sure.
And I hope that companies like Celsius and Voyager, you know, can be more transparent on how they're, you know, leveraging, using money. And that's why I like DeFi as well, right? Because everything's more transparent and mm-hmm. you can lend out your tokens and get a certain percent. And those haven't failed yet. Like Aave is one example. That's a coin we have in our platform too, by the way. And, you know, I hope that we get to you know, allowing people to lend their crypto for high yields, but in a safer way. Mm-hmm. And we learn a big lesson from this. And I think we will.
Yeah, hopefully. You know, I think crypto is the future, but it's only going to work if it remains decentralized. So I think as long as we leave it in the hands of the people and people have control over their coins, then that's the way to keep it safe. And
yeah, and it's you know, it's a journey to get there, right? Yeah, I think in the meantime, you're going to have centralized elements, you know, but yeah, I think it's just a long road and we'll get there.
All right, sweet. Well, Guy, I want to thank you once again for joining me. Please tell everybody where they can find you.
Yeah, mydigitalmoney.com. You can open an account within 5 minutes or call us. We'll be picking up your phone. That's very rare these days, especially in crypto. So our number is 833-636-2008. And again, 833-MDM-2008.
Okay, awesome. Thanks again for being here. Everyone at home, I'll be back tonight. Good luck. And God bless.
Thank you very much.